Little Bets, How Breakthrough Ideas Emerge from Small Discoveries, author Peter Sims. Unlock Creative Ideas. Little Bets is based on the proposition that we can use a lot of little bets and certain creative methods to identify possibilities and build up great outcomes. At the core of this experimental approach, little bets are concrete actions taken to discover, test, and develop ideas that are achievable and affordable. They begin as creative possibilities that get refined over time, and they are particularly vulnerable when trying to navigate amid uncertainty, creating something new, or attend to open-end problems. When we can't know what's going to happen, little bets help us learn about factors that can't be understood beforehand. Fundamental to the little bets approach is that we experiment, play, immerse, which is taking time to get out into the world, to gather fresh ideas and insights, and absorb how things work from the ground up. Define, which means using insights gathered throughout the process to define specific problems and needs before solving them. Reorient, iterate, and refine. Big bets versus small bets. Two fundamental advantages of the little bets approach are highlighted in the research of Professor Sarah Sarasvati, that it enables us to focus on what we can afford to lose rather than to make assumptions about how much we can expect to gain, and that it facilitates the development of means as we progress with an idea. Sarasvati points to the value of what she calls affordable loss principle. Seasoned entrepreneurs, she emphasizes, will tend to determine in advance that they are willing to lose rather than calculating expected gains. Using a little bets approach facilitates operating according to the affordable loss principle. The growth mindset. By expecting to get things done right at the start, we block ourselves psychologically and choke off a host of opportunities to learn. In placing so much emphasis on minimizing errors or the risk of any kind of failure, we shut off chances to identify the insights that drive creative progress. Becoming more comfortable with failure and coming to view false starts and mistakes as opportunities opens us up creatively. Those seeking a growth mindset believe that intelligence abilities can be grown through efforts. They have a desire to constantly challenge and stretch themselves. Problems are new solutions. The imposition of constraints is a powerful technique across a wide range of endeavors. It was central to the turnaround in the strategy in the Iraq War. At the time that U.S. Brigadier General H.R. McMaster was brought to Iraq in 2004, the war had reached a crucial turning point. During 2003 and 2004, the Pentagon strategy in Iraq was known as kill and capture, whereby the U.S. military would raid Iraqi cities seeking to eliminate insurgents. During the war, McMaster had risen to become one of the Army's top counterinsurgency specialists and strategic thinkers. In being brought in to take charge in the city of Tal Afar, he would get the chance to prove his theories in the heat of battle. Fat city buildings were crumbling, the mud streets were deeply graded by armored vehicle tracks, and the population had largely gone into hiding, nervously peering out from their shutters. Raiding was a strategy used in Tal Afar during 2004 by the small 5,000-soldier Army Striker Brigade. According to McMaster, they fought valiantly, but the insurgents temporarily slid out of Tal Afar into surrounding areas. There weren't enough forces to do anything but raid to disrupt the enemy. He says, complicating matters, the Striker mission, poorly dubbed Black Typhoon, cued the sophisticated insurgent propaganda campaign, mostly Al-Qaeda operatives, that portrayed American forces attacking the Tal Afar people. Many locals believed it. When the cavalry arrived in the spring of 2005, jihadist groups again largely controlled the city. American forces spent the first 30 days performing focused area reconnaissance, acting as problem finders. One of these was the need to develop better relationships with local tribal leaders to understand the local power structure. Another problem they identified, taking advice from Iraqis, was how insurgents moved into and out of the city, smuggled supplies, people, and money through an array of porous points. Again, the solution was to ring Tal Afar with a nice foot-tall dirt berm that established only 3 points of entry and exit, which they made into checkpoints to monitor and control the flow of people and goods into and out of the city. Another key problem identified was the safe houses they were harboring insurgents and their weapons. On reconnaissance missions and through intelligence missions, McMaster's forces identified these safe houses and moved on them one by one. They were methodically constraining their activities around one smallified problem after another. Thus, McMaster trained his sights on taking control of the town. By that time, his forces had the insight to know exactly where to go and what to do. a cavalry squadron, an Iraqi army battalion, and the exiled city police force converged on the city from the south and west. Within a day, they captured 19 insurgents, began building a base inside the city to house the Iraqi army battalion, and reinstalled the city police and government. Given the fear or indecision we often confront when attempting to unleash our creativity, the practice of rigorously smallifying problems is liberating. At the same time, while some externally imposed constraints can be onerous, many can be enormously helpful starting points. This is the great irony about constraints. Questions are the new answers. One of the best ways to identify creative insights and develop ideas is to throw out the theory and experience things firsthand. After all, fresh problems, ideas, needs, and desires aren't obvious. They're hidden beneath the surface. Research evidence suggests a strong link between inquisitiveness and creative productivity. Learning a little from a lot. Over the past several years, executives at Procter & Gamble, working closely with Stanford School, modified their new idea development process. P&Gs not only do quick and dirty prototyping, they develop new product ideas with the most active users. Their approach is, choose a few consumers that you really feel are the early adapters. Test it with them. See what they like about it and what they don't like about it. And if it appeals to them, use them to optimize the idea further. And then the laggards will follow. Theon and other executives at Procter & Gamble have learned the value of developing their ideas with active users through experience and from the field of design thinking. Small wins. Organizational psychologist Carl Weick defines a small win as a concrete, complete, implemented outcome of moderate importance. In the acclaimed paper in which Weick described small wins, published in the January 1984 issue of American Psychologist, he used the example of how helpful it is for alcoholics to focus on remaining sober one day at a time, or even 1 hour at a time. Stringing together successive days of sobriety helps them to see the rewards of abstinence, and it makes it more achievable in their minds. Elaborating on the benefits of small wins, Weick writes, "Once a small win has been accomplished, forces are set in motion that favor another small win. In conclusion, invention and discovery emanate form. Being able to try seemingly wild possibilities and work in the unknown. To be comfortable, being wrong before being right. To live in the world as a keen observer with an openness to experiences and ideas. To play with ideas without censoring oneself or others. To persist through dark valleys and with a growth mindset. And to have the willingness to be misunderstood, sometimes for long periods of time, despite conventional wisdom."